yet, so we'll see if this works. So Luke 11, starting in verse 1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, if we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Let's pray. Lord, as we pray this morning, I pray that you would answer those prayers that have gone out already, that you would really touch lives this morning. I pray that we would not come in the building this morning and leave the same way. If there's things that we need prayer for, Lord, I pray we stay afterwards. Prayer is so powerful. It's a way that you choose to move and work in this world today. And so, Lord, I just pray right now as we go through your prayer that we would just get out of it what you have for us this morning. And Lord, I pray that we'd be a people that pray, that we'd be prayer warriors. And help us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Another spot where you read about the Lord's Prayer is in Matthew. So if you turn there to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, starting in verse 9. Says, "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Here in Matthew, the recording of the Lord's Prayer is a little different than what we just read in Luke. I believe Matthew has shown us that Jesus didn't intend for us to prescribe to a form of a prayer, to continue to use that exact prayer in all of our prayers. Instead, Jesus was giving us an example of the substance of our prayers. I also believe this to be true because of the way the disciples prayed throughout their ministry. Even though they were prayer warriors and they prayed, there's no other recording in Scripture of this prayer from the disciples. Verse 9, it says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Last Sunday was Father's Day. You guys celebrated Father's Day. But we get to celebrate the Creator of all, the ultimate Father, as we go through this, or as we pray, and again, the substance of our prayers, that's who we are praying to, the ultimate Father. As Father, He's the preserver of all human families, and He's the provider of all our needs. If you just turn to verse 25 of Matthew 6, it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which one of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day in its own trouble." What a great reminder for all of us, right? Who are we praying to? Our Father in heaven knows exactly what we need even before opening our mouths to pray. He knew you while you were in your mother's womb. He knows your every need. We don't need to be anxious for anything. But we are called to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these needs will be provided. That's what the scripture says. My question this morning would be, are we seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness? Is it our first choice? Or is it our second? Maybe our third choice? Or maybe not at all? Or do we go to Him last? If God Almighty is our Father, then that means we are heirs of a kingdom. We are royalty. Just praying that this morning with James. And James, you are royalty. You are special. If you're in Christ, you're an heir of His. He has a plan. He has a purpose for you. He knows all of your needs. If you would turn to Romans. Romans 8. Again, we're going to bounce back and forth in the scriptures here this morning. Romans 8, starting in verse 14. See, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. These verses should be so encouraging for those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ this morning. We have been adopted. We are sons and daughters of a King. We are fellow heirs with Christ. We should have such great faith and trust when we go to our Father with our prayers. We are His sons and daughters, adopted because of the blood of Christ. And that's why it starts out saying, pray like this. Our Father out in heaven, hallowed be Your name. On the screen this morning behind me, Galatians 4, 6 through 7. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Matthew 6, again our text this morning. Verse 9, pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Hallowed be and greatly to be revered and honored. God's name is holy. Let His name be celebrated and esteemed holy everywhere. That's the great commission, to go and tell others about this great name. This God that is the creator of the universe, yet He cares so much about you that He sends His Son while we were still sinners. I don't know how much we comprehend that. Man, it's easy to love those that love us, but to love our enemies, to love those that would persecute us, to love somebody while they're still in their sin, He sends His Son for each and every one of us while we're in that spot. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. This should cast out all doubts as we go to pray. God is able to hear, He's able to answer, and do all according to His will and His plans. Verse 10 says, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we pray, are we praying according to God's will and His kingdom plans? James 4, 3 through 4. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Our passions are not lined up with God sometimes. Our flesh can be weak. We ask wrongly because we are selfish people. Isaiah 59, 2. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. So many people I know that have felt like God did not answer prayers. Have any of you ever felt that way or know of others that have felt that way? They typically never spent time with God. They just wanted to answer prayers. As a school teacher, so many times kids would say, God never answered my prayers. I prayed my grandma would get healed. I prayed for this. But they weren't people that spent time with God. They might know his acts. They might have heard his stories and heard things about him. But they did not know his ways. We need to have a relationship with him and spend intimate time to know his ways. That's the only way we'll know. Again, people see his acts, but do they know him? Do they know his ways? Do they know his will? Do they know his plans? Turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 36. Again, Matthew 26, verse 36. Then Jesus went with them to the place called Gethsemane. He said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little further, he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. I believe this is the best example of someone praying and asking and continue to ask God for his will to be done. Knowing his Father's will is what helped him conquer the cross. Think about this. The cup was heavy. He says, I cannot bear this. He knew he had to go to the cross. And he'd pray. Think about this. This is Jesus himself saying, God, do I have to do this? And his Father answering, yes, son, this is the only way. Do I really have to go for those people? I'm honoring you. I'm walking it out. They're sinning. They're not doing it. Do I really have to go to the cross? And he goes to him again, yes, son. That's my will. You need to go to the cross. It's the only way they can have a relationship with me. He goes a third time. Oh, Father, your will be done. Your will be done. Aren't we glad that God knew what was best? And aren't we glad that Jesus was willing to pray, to seek his Father's will, and to hear his voice? Do we pray like that? Do we pray to know God's ways and say, your will be done? Lord, I'm going to pray this way, but your will be done and not mine. In your timing, in your hands, I give this prayer. Matthew 6, 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. What is bread? Everything necessary to sustain life. We need daily food. We need water. We need clothing. We need shelter. My question this morning, but what is it that really sustains us? What is it that sustains our soul? What is it that sustains us as believers? If you're following along, Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus knew that the Father was the one to provide all his daily needs. More importantly, he knew the word and what it was that truly sustained him. When Jesus was being tempted here, he quoted the Old Testament. This comes from Deuteronomy 8:3. "And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." We cannot live on bread alone. That what truly sustains us on this earth is the Word of God. Are we feeding on His Word on a daily basis? God is so willing and wanting to feed us spiritually as we feed on His Word. Again, it ties into prayer. So I thought we were talking about prayer, not reading your Word, but it ties together. That is what truly sustains us. Diving in His Word, knowing His ways. My flesh is weak. I make mistakes. I cannot do it on bread alone. I need His Word to sustain me on a daily basis. I need His Word when I am tired, when I am weak. Just like Jesus Himself, He was so hungry. And when did Satan come to attack Him? On His bad day, when He's hungry and He was weak and He came to tempt Him. But he was feeding on the Word of God. So how did Jesus do with the discipline of prayer? Again, I think Jesus is our best example in everything. So I just want to go through some scriptures this morning quickly. How did he do himself? 1 Corinthians 11:24. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" When you guys take communion, I'm sure this is something that you guys have read before. In Corinthians, it describes Jesus blessing the bread and breaking it. There's so much in communion talking about it, but I want to just take something simple from this. Jesus gave an example of thanking God and blessing the meal before breaking bread together. This seems like a small thing, but it can be a very powerful witness. Think about it, kids, as you're at school, and you bow your head to pray. Something I've shared with my family before. Because I was a teacher and I'd eat with the kids. Or even as a student. And I'm sitting there bowing just to pray. And kids coming up to you, "What are you doing? Are you smelling your food? It's going to be fine. You can eat it." No, I'm praying. And give me a chance to talk to him. Hey, I'm praying to God Almighty. Seems like a simple thing, but as a family, when you're not all on your phones and you actually bow your heads and maybe grab hands and you pray at a restaurant, in the public, and people notice, there's something different about that group of people. See, it gives us a chance to be a witness to friends and others when they're in our homes. Maybe non-believers say, "Hey, could you bow your head? We're just going to pray." Jesus gave an example. If it's all about God's glory. This is a very simple way to start as well. Some of you may say, "I can't pray in public. I can't do this." You can. It takes practice, though. Simple way just to pray before each meal. A good way to start if you feel like, "I can't pray." Start somewhere. Turn your Bibles to Mark 1. Mark 1, verse 35. "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also. For that is why I came out.' And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons." Every morning, he would get up and he would pray. He would go to his Father. Again, "Lord, what is your will is for me today? What is your plans?" I'm convinced when he says, "Let's go to the next town," he knew because he was in prayer with his Father. He spent time with him. He knew his ways. Mark 6:46. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up in the mountain to pray. Jesus knew how important it was to get away and to pray. A place to spend time with his Father without distractions. This is hard for us. It is difficult. I admit, for me, it is difficult. I'll go in my office and pray in the morning. And boy, it doesn't take long for me to get distracted. Just in quietness. My mind starts to wander. How is your prayer life? How is my prayer life pastoring and doing that? It can be tough. It doesn't take long. Again, I'm starting to pray and I'll say, oh, distraction of the day. I got to get this done. But Jesus knew how important it was. He'd go early in the morning. He would go. He'd get away. He'd spend time with his Father. He spent enough time that the conversations were a two-way conversation to hear a response. He spent time in the evening talking with his Father. Jesus delighted in prayer time. It can be one of the difficult things, I think, as believers to have a strong prayer life. When making a big decision, Jesus prayed all night. Turn your Bibles to Luke 6. Another one of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 6, verse 12. It says, in these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Jesus asked for his Father's help when choosing the disciples. He prayed all night long. See, again, what is my prayer life like in a big decision? Lord, this is how I typically pray, and I'm not saying it's the right prayer, but it's because I've had a lazy prayer life at times. Lord, open the doors that need to be opened. Closed ones need to be closed. Amen. You know, you do it. He prayed all night long. This is Jesus. Fully man, fully God. He prays all night. He's like, this is a huge decision. These 12 disciples. And think about it, wrestling with God when he's saying, I know that this man is going to be a traitor. You're telling me I need to have Judas as one of the disciples as well? I believe Jesus knew this. He said, yes. Yes, that is my will. It was a big decision, so he prayed all night long. Again, here's a third question this morning for us. One for me, and again, I'm not judging you guys. I feel like God brings convictions before I preach as he does this stuff. I said, Andrew, how's your prayer life? But if Jesus prayed all the time, and he was without sin, he was fully God and fully man, why do we think we are so strong on our own and we don't need to pray? Fully God, fully man, and look at his prayer life. He knew what would sustain him. He knew how God Almighty worked, and he works through prayers. Oh, I say, Lord, help me. Help me to have a better prayer life. Matthew 6, our text again this morning, verse 12. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. The measure by which we may expect forgiveness is that which we use in reference to others. Mark 11, 25. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Also in Matthew 18, 33 through 35. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant, as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father would do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Just an important part of our prayer life. Learning to forgive and let go. Man, something that I have seen pastoring, I think this is going on my fourth year now. I'll be starting my fifth in July. Somebody could have been a Christian for 25 years. You start getting into constant, start talking about stuff. You're like, something's just not quite right here. And all of a sudden you find out they were hurt. Maybe it was from a boss. Maybe it was from a parent. Maybe it was from a spouse. Whatever it might be. And said, have you forgiven them? No. 25 years, 30 years, 50 years, 10 years, 2 months, whatever it might be, holding on to unforgiveness. Man, it wrecks lives. This is something that, why do you say pray like this on a daily basis? Pray, Father, would you help me to forgive others as you forgive my debts? This needs to be part of your life as a believer. It is critical. It's huge. And again, as I prayed earlier, if you're coming into this building, don't leave the same way today. If there's somebody that you haven't forgiven, something you've been holding on to maybe since childhood, where you've been hurt, it doesn't remove what they did, but Lord, just moves in your heart to say, Lord, help me. You may not feel like it, but choose to forgive. And watch the Lord do a work in your life and change those emotions and those feelings. It is critical, part of our prayer. Father, help us to forgive those who have hurt us. Verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I'd like you to turn to James. James 1. Towards the end of the New Testament. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. See, God does allow trials in our lives and will test us at times. I prayed earlier this morning that God would help us in these times. Sometimes when there's difficulties, that through it, that God would minister to us. See, it is true that we'll go through trials and tests in life. It tests your character. I can call myself a Christian all I want. I can say I'm a Christian. But do I act like one when I go through a trial or when I go through a test or something happens to me? Am I Christ-like to others when I'm treated poorly? It will test your character. Hebrews 11, 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son. Again, I believe this to be true, that God will allow testing in our life. He will test us at times and bring trials. But I do not believe he tempts us. Why? Because Scripture says, look at verse 13 of James. It says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. You need to know this. God will not tempt you. It is our own fleshly desires that lead us to sin. Look at verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So when Jesus says to pray that we are not led into temptation, but deliver us from evil one, I believe he is reminding us that our flesh is weak and we need the Holy Spirit's help to keep us from pursuing our fleshly desires. I believe that that's what it means. He will not tempt you. But he's saying, pray like this, Lord God, I know I'm weak. Help me today. Keep me away from those temptations. Keep me away from my fleshly desires. Help me to seek your kingdom above any other kingdom, above my own kingdom. Help me to seek you first. We also need help, right? To keep us from the lies of the enemy. So I believe he's saying, pray like this. God, help me. Help me to know the lies of the enemy when he's trying to come into my thought life, as he's trying to tempt me, as he's trying to bring me down. Lord God, help me. Lead me not into those temptations. In the last three verses of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus used us rather than me when teaching his disciples how to pray. Look at our text this morning, Matthew 6. Matthew 6 in verse 11, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." This is plural. It's not just about me. You need to know that. That's why it's so important to be part of a local church body, a part of God's family, because it's not about you. It's ultimately about God and His glory. It's about His church. He's wanting to come back for His bride. It's not just about me. I need to lead as a husband. I need to lead as a father in my prayer life. I need to be an example. This is about us as a local church as well. We need to be part of a larger family. We need to be praying together. Something I would encourage you as a church, and I don't know where you guys are at with that in corporate prayer, but I want to spend a few minutes here just looking at scripture verses and talking about us, talking about corporate prayer. What should the church be like? Isaiah 56, 7. "These I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." Jesus quoted this in Matthew 21, 13. He said to them, "It is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers." The early church understood how important this was. Acts 1, 14. "All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers." How about Acts 2, 42? "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread," into what? Into the prayers. Acts 6, 4. "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Romans 12, 2. "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." How often should we pray? I prayed last week. I prayed this morning. Be constant in prayer. You mean I can be on the way to work and I can be praying? Yes. You can be at work working and you can be praying. You can be constant in prayer. Having a prayer life with God, just talking like I'm talking right now. God, help me today. Help me be a better example. God, and you're just constantly going to God and listening and hearing His voice. In my ESV Bible, after this verse, it says, "The marks of a true Christian." See, a true believer will be constant in prayer. They will rejoice in hope. They'll be patient in tribulation. It's the fruit that you are Christ-like. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I've had people ask, "I don't know what God's will is for my life." Well, here's one of the things you do know. It says it. You know what His will is. He says it. To be constant in prayer. To pray without ceasing. This was the final instructions from Paul to the Thessalonica church. I believe this is also instructions for us as a church in Spooner, for you as a church here in St. Paul. We don't have to figure out if it's the Lord's will for us to be praying or not. We've already been told it is His will that we pray together. For years, we had a few people that would pray on Sunday mornings before the church service, and it was in my office and stuff when I started pastoring just a small group. And I felt like the Lord wanted to lead to a larger group on Sunday mornings to pray. This may be our third year doing that, and so now we meet in a bigger room. And I need to tell you, it's been difficult. And we've had maybe 20 people coming now, which has been great, but it's been a struggle. It's a hard thing, and there's times the Lord will bring conviction to me, and times where I feel like I need to share with the body again, remind them to come and pray together. Solid family, some of my friends and stuff, they will not show up to pray on a Sunday morning. And I'm not judging them. I mean, I've been in those spots and you have busy life and things, and there's other days to pray as well. And I know the elders here have asked if I teach on prayer today, and they didn't know what I was praying on. But if they ask you, to be a church that prays, to gather together to pray. I'd encourage you to be obedient to it. If you look up in history about the church, and anytime you see a revival, you see God moving and things happen in people's lives, you find out, you dive a little bit deeper, and you'll find that there was a group of people praying together. Maybe one or two, maybe three or five, maybe 10. But there was a group of people that were committed, sometimes for weeks, sometimes for months, sometimes for years, looking to church history, and sometimes it was people praying for 100 years, seeking God, and then boom, things exploded. I encourage you to be a people that pray. And also, this brings conviction in my life, maybe in yours. So many times in our lives, we ask others to be praying. This morning, we watched it happen, and it's a good thing to be praying together. So often, we can reach out and say, hey, be praying for me. I'm struggling with this. Pray for me about this. But are we willing to come together to pray ourselves? Are we willing to do that? See, Jesus knew and taught the importance of prayer. And I believe we should listen to his wisdom. I know there could have been other topics this morning on prayer. Maybe you have questions on prayer, like what about unanswered prayers, or what seem like unanswered prayers? What about prayer and faith, and how are those tied together? And what about prayer and healing? Again, many different topics in prayer, but I felt like this was what the Lord wanted this morning, so I hope it blessed you. Need to remind us this morning, see, it's our job to pray. It's his job and his responsibility to answer according to his will and his timing and his plans. Again, it should be such a reminder to us, when Jesus went to God and prayed, aren't we glad that he knew his Father's will and he went to the cross? So think about that. And when times you feel like, Lord, he didn't answer my prayer, my timing, maybe he didn't answer the way I thought he should have, maybe he didn't heal my aunt like I thought he should have. But he sees everything and he loves you. See, he is love. His name is love. So every time you pray, you need to know that he is answering out of love. Because he loves you and he cares for you. I'd also encourage you with this. Start somewhere. Start somewhere in your prayer life. A couple weeks ago, there's a young girl at our prayer meeting, her family has been starting to come. And I typically don't ask people to pray. We'll just pray as people feel led. Once in a while, I'll ask somebody to pray at the end to close us. And I don't know why, this time I just said, hey, would you pray? And her eyes got about this big. She did not want to pray in public. And so I was going to quickly just maybe ask somebody else. And I saw her mom whisper to her. And she prayed. And what a blessing it was. And she was so nervous. And afterwards, like, oh, I felt like I did such a bad job. I said, a bad job? You just honored your Heavenly Father. He just loved it. It was sweet. It's not a bad prayer as you're praying out to God. It was an awesome blessing. I encourage you this as parents or as grandparents. If you want to see your kids or your grandkids to pray, you need to be an example. You need to pray yourself. We want them to pray, but we don't pray. Heard of people saying, I can't pray out loud. I remember my dad telling me this a long time ago about a man that he was dealing with in the church. And this is years ago. He's like, I don't pray out loud. I don't pray in front of people. That gentleman never did pray in front of people. He was never pushed. He was never encouraged and challenged to pray out loud and do that. So I encourage you, if you feel like, I can't pray when we're in small groups, or I can't pray in front of this church, you can. These people love you. They will have grace for you. Start somewhere. Parents, pray. I've been blessed with godly children that love the Lord and been good in academics and good in sports. Done well. My son took second in state this year in wrestling. It was just fun to be a part of. But something that's touched me as a dad more than anything, in our corporate prayer now, I don't even have to say anything to them. And when they pray, oh, what a blessing. I don't say anything. And they just start praying out loud in front of adults. It is more rewarding than any of those academic things, any of the sporting events. Because I'm like, ah, they've got it. I encourage you as parents and as grandparents to pray, to lead, and to teach that way. Now, I just want to close with this. One just quick story, short story, because I think it was from the Lord, because as I was preparing to talk about prayer and just, Lord, where, how do you want me to do this? And he's giving me the Lord's prayer. I was in Canada. Just got back from Canada fishing for a week, and it was a blessing being there. And my uncle was retired from the military. He's on the trip, and he's super organized and neat. And I'm typically that way, at least somewhat, maybe not to the extreme that he is. And so I borrowed his anchor, and I tied it off, but I didn't tie it off at the end as well. And we were fishing, and we were drifting, and all of a sudden I looked down, and the anchor rope was gone. I see it, and I reach out to try to grab it, and it sank to the bottom. And I was like, ah, stink. And not a huge deal. I mean, I can get a different one. I can buy a different one. So next morning, we're fishing right by that same spot, and another boat was with us, my brother and his two boys in there. And I'm like, hey, you guys need to catch that anchor somehow as we're fishing there. He's kind of joking around. My older brother's like, well, did you pray yet? I'm just going to be speaking on prayer. He's like, did you pray? I'm like, no, I didn't pray yet. And I just felt led to pray, and I prayed very specifically. And I just out loud said, Lord, help Jake to catch that anchor. It was my nephew, who at times has wrestled, is God real, and does he answer prayers and these things? And I wasn't even thinking of that. I just prayed out loud, Lord, help Jake catch his anchor. So we fished there for a while, and evening we were fishing different spots. We came back, so this is a pretty decent sized lake, came back to that same area by the rocks and stuff, and all of a sudden he gets snagged onto something, and he's trying to unhook it. I'm like, whoa, don't unhook that, that's the anchor. And he starts laughing. He's like, yeah, right. And all of a sudden it's moving a little bit. I said, that's because it's the anchor. And he starts pulling up, and here he's hooked on the anchor rope. And it was Jake, the one that I prayed for specifically to catch it. And his eyes are like this big. And I'm like, God, answer your prayer. It's just a simple way. Story after story, and I know you have stories here as well. Growing up and watching my family pray for things, God hears your prayers. But he longs for you just to ask. He longs for you to go to him and pray and seek him. So I just want to close with some prayer right now. Lord, I thank you for that just simple example. The week that I'm going to be talking about prayer, diving into prayer and think, how do I preach on this? You gave just a simple illustration of how good you are. And you showed my nephew that day that you are real, that you are God Almighty. And you hear prayers and you answer according to your time and your plans. Lord, I pray that we would be convicted today to be prayer warriors. Lord, that we'd start somewhere. Maybe we feel uncomfortable to pray out loud. Maybe we feel uncomfortable to pray in front of people, Lord. But I pray that you would stir in our hearts to pray and to seek you first. Seek your kingdom first. And all these other things will be added on to us. Help us to do that, Lord. Lord, I pray also as we go today, for those that were prayed for today, that you would hear their prayers and you'd answer according to your purposes and your timing and your plans. We love you. We thank you. I thank you for this church. I thank you for this body. I pray that you would bless them, that they would grow as a people in you, Lord God, and in the relationships together, Lord, and that they would be more than conquerors. And they'd be prepared for your return. We love you and thank you. And all God's children said, amen.